It was a night of celebration for two more clubs on a dramatic start to match day six. Napoli and Copenhagen will grace the last 16 after impressive wins, and they can look forward to Monday's draw. It was all about securing third and a place in the Europa League for others. Benfica scored late to continue their European season, and there was also delight for Lens. We will wrap it all up over the next 30 minutes or so. Match day six started with a bang. I'm Chris Parrott and delighted to have the European football expert Kevin Hatchard alongside me. There is an awful lot to look back on. We knew there would with so many permutations, but what an occasion for, in particular, the two clubs who will be amongst Europe's elite come February and March.
Yeah, and it was about rising to the occasion when it was necessary. Napoli did what they had to do. Copenhagen, under extreme pressure, performed with great home support. And we've had lots of goals elsewhere and lots of drama.
We have, right until basically the last kick, and we'll get onto that in a moment. So here are the scores. Group A, which was the section. Manchester United 0, Bayern 1, Copenhagen 1, Galatasaray 0. Group B, the two early kickoffs, Lens 2, Sevilla 1, and PSV 1, Arsenal 1. Group C, Napoli 2, Braga 0, Union Berlin 2, Real Madrid 3. And in Group D, Inter 0, Real Sociedad 0, Salzburg 1, Benfica 3. The story of the night, though, was always destined to come from Group A, because Bayern were through, but it was one from three behind them. Copenhagen faced Galatasaray in a winner-takes-all clash. Anything less for either, and Manchester United could have gone through with victory at Old Trafford. Here is how a dramatic, compelling section came to a close.
Johnny Evans down the line for Antony, into the path of Wan-Bissaka on the edge of the area, cuts the ball to the edge of the box. Fernandes had time and space. He did not exploit it.
In the context of this game, Mike, that is a massive chance, because Bruno Fernandes on the edge of the area all alone, that is exactly where he would want to be and where he would want that ball to be, right in front of him.
Klassen, lovely bit of control, brings it down. Elianoussi is waiting at the far post. Ashuri has it now inside the area. Copenhagen have the goal that could well be taking them through to the last 16. Lucas Lier has given them the goal they craved.
Muller touches it through. Coman is in here, and Bayern take the lead. And that surely has sealed Manchester United's fate. And Bayern München, with 20 minutes to go, strike a huge blow to the home team.
Perfect way to pass, and Coman, with only the goalkeeper to beat, just slows it down, takes a touch, lovely finish. It's a beautiful Bayern goal.
There's the full-time whistle, and it's Danish delight. Just the second time in the country's football history, Denmark will have a team in the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League. Pandemonium in the Parken. Copenhagen have won another night, and they are through to the knockout stages. There is disbelief from some players who are on the ground. The head coach, Jakob Naysnips, on the pitch, punching the air. Full-time scoreline at the Parken. Copenhagen 1, Galatasaray 0.
We heard from Richard Kaufman and Mike Sewell there, the match commentators, and both join myself and Kev now. As we speak, it's about 10 minutes after full time, Richard Kaufman. One of the stands is still full at Parken. Mm-hmm. And as we heard there, I mean, truly joyous scenes when that full-time whistle went.
As you'd expect, you know, this has only happened ever twice in their history. It means so much, you know, they're going to be rubbing shoulders. I mean, they have already, haven't they, with Manchester United and Bayern Munich, with, you know, the big teams in European football. Copenhagen, you know, been a fairly dominant force at home, but to come from the second qualifying round, to get through all that, to get through the playoff, to get into the group stages, to come through a group with Manchester United and Bayern München, to get 4 points from two matches, you know, against United, the comeback win to hold Bayern München to a draw, you know, a week or so ago. And now, when the pressure was at full throttle, when the opportunity, that carrot was dangling in front of them, to be as composed as they were this evening, to play the game plan of their coach, Jakob Nestrup, to perfection, and then to, you know, seal it with a win when a draw would have been enough. You know, nights don't get much better than this for Copenhagen.
Absolutely not. 25th of July, they began their Champions League challenge in Iceland. And Kevin, as Richard alluded to there, loads of adversity on the way, including on match day one against Galatasaray. But that felt like a really professional, composed performance on what was one of the biggest nights, certainly in European terms, in their football club's history.
Funnily enough, I think the games against Bayern, even though they only took a point across those two games, I actually think was some of the most indicative of their level, because I thought they played ever so well against Bayern in Copenhagen and were maybe a bit unfortunate to lose the game. And the control with which they played and the discipline with which they played in Munich was really quite extraordinary. And it was only a brilliant double save from Manuel Neuer that stopped them snatching that game late on. I think they've played with real organisation. You have to give Richard is absolutely right to give the coach, Jakob Nestrup, lots of credit. He's been brilliant in the way that he set them out. Everybody knows their job. Larrera, I think, has been brilliant. He's come up with a couple of really important goals. You think of the teenager, Rooney Bargee, with that brilliant finish against Manchester United. You know, they've come out on the right side of all those moments, and they've done it with real quality and real personality. And you look at their record in Copenhagen is good. There have been some big sides who've gone there and not won, and that is not a place where opposing teams are going to want to go.
Yeah, just to pick up on that, I mean, after tonight's match, just three defeats here in 19 matches. The only teams that have come here and won in that run are Real Madrid, Chelsea and Bayern München, who we just mentioned before. It is a tough place. The atmosphere is red hot. And in a way, you talk about that match at Bayern München. It was kind of watching tonight the perfect rehearsal for, you know, game plan-wise for what they did tonight, which is, you know, Galatasaray had the majority possession, but they had a couple of chances early on where they could have taken the lead. Galatasaray came, but really, until it was 1-0, Kamal Gabrara had next to nothing to do, the Copenhagen goalkeeper. They were so resolute defensively, so assured, so composed when they had the ball, while still offering a little bit of a threat as well. It was fantastically played by them throughout the 90 minutes. There were a few nerves late on, but even if Galatasaray had scored one, well, they still wouldn't have been enough to put them through or knock Copenhagen out in terms of their progress to the UEFA Champions League. It should be pointed out, Galatasaray do get that consolation, though, of a UEFA Europa League place.
Yeah, and come February, they will really target that competition, which, of course, they have won at Parken in the year 2000. Quickly, Richard, Jakob Nestrup, only 35. Mm-hmm. Had to finish his playing career early because of injuries. He's worked his way up from youth football. This is his club, right? This must mean absolutely everything to him.
You know, he's come through, as you say, the club's academy. Saw his career diminish with injuries. He's been in charge now, for 15 months. Could only dream that he'd be leading a team at the age of 35. To the knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League. It's a wonderful story. And his players, you know, did him proud. You look at the two teams, you know, when Galatasaray got the Cardi, they're bringing off the bench the likes of Ziyech and Mertens, sort of world star names. And you look at the Copenhagen team, and on paper, they're inferior. But that's not the way it played out. It's a real team here. And listen, whoever they play in the last 16, they're going to be underdogs. But I don't think they'll care about that.
No, they won't. And I wonder whether they wouldn't mind a home tie, of course, at any stage against anybody. They will find out on Monday in the last 16 draw. I'll bring in Mike now, who's watching the other game in this section. Bayern, very, very impressive. They knew they were through, but that there was no... From the moment we saw the team sheet, actually, you thought, okay, this is a team that want to win tonight and they want to go into the round of 16 off the back of yet another 3 points.
And they had to win given the performance that they put in at the weekend against Eintracht Frankfurt. They needed to come back with something. And that was a bad thing for Manchester United. And you said to me, Kevin, before the game that you were covering that game at the weekend, as one of the first things you said, this is bad news for United. Yeah. And it proved to be the case.
If you look at Bayern's recent history, what they do incredibly well is when they have setbacks, the next team in line tends to suffer. Mm. And you knew from the moment, as Mike says, you saw that lineup, you saw the seriousness with which they approached it. That's why their record in the group stage of this competition is remarkable, because they don't ease up. They don't have a game off. They see every game in this competition as massively important. Going to Old Trafford and beating Manchester United, even though they're a bit bashed up at the moment, that's still a really big deal. And I think Harry Kane did what Harry Kane has done for them since he arrived in Bavaria. He's had games where you've looked at it and wondered, how's he going to affect the game? We haven't seen him for a while. He hasn't had a chance. And then just a little moment, he wins the game for them. Normally, it's a goal he scores himself. On this occasion, it was a perfectly weighted pass through to Kingsley Coman, and he put the chance away.
Well, speaking of Harry Kane, we can hear from him now, reflecting, of course, on a perfect record in the group stage, and job done.
We controlled the game for large spells. They may have had a lot of the ball towards, at the back, but they didn't really hurt us in any moment, and we looked the threat, especially on the quick transition. So nice to get this 1-0 win and finish the group strong. Man United are a great team, and look, we're really happy with the way the group stage has gone so far. But for me, you know, it's just another game to try and help Bayern Munich get the victory.
Perfect in terms of being unbeaten again in a group stage. I mean, the stats are absurd, actually.
They are quite absurd, because they've now reached 40 UEFA Champions League group games without defeat, and they've won they've won 36 of them. They've only actually drawn four.
I mean, up to this stage, you only have 12 a year.
Am I right in saying, though, that the victories, financially, it can be quite lucrative if you win a Champions League, just one Champions League game, not just getting through to the next phase.
And there is also a case this year with the expansion next year that the victory is actually very important for your country's coefficient, but we'd need to be on air for another hour to go through all of those. But it is, you're right, it is important.
I think the other thing as well is it gives you a window into the kind of club that Bayern are, because at Bayern, and I think Harry Kane has actually embraced this, at Bayern, you're expected to win every single game. And so there are no games off, there are no dead rubbers, there are no games where, oh, you rotate and make loads of changes, because the pressure is on. It is a national story when Bayern don't win a game, and they approach that with the utmost seriousness, and Manchester United found that really difficult to deal with.
On the subject of Manchester United, yes, their season has been inconsistent in the league, in the UEFA Champions League and whatever, but there aren't slightly mitigating circumstances, especially tonight. They lost two of their main defenders around about half time, in addition to having a couple of players ill,
yeah,
not fit again, and nearly half a dozen of them in the injury room. So it's not easy. It wasn't easy for Erik ten Hag tonight with the team that he had. Okay, they're big squads, these teams like United and Bayern, but nevertheless, he couldn't put his best team out, unlike Thomas Tuchel.
Yeah, absolutely. And they scored 12 goals, Manchester United, but they finish bottom of the section and will have no European football in the new year. So Group A finishes like this. Bayern 16 points, Copenhagen second on 8 points, Galatasaray third on 5 and into the Europa League. And as I mentioned, Manchester United finishing fourth on 4 points. Well, that was the section to really look forward to on Tuesday night. But there was plenty more drama across Europe in the other groups. And still to come, we will take a look at exactly what happened in this season's finale in the top half of the draw.
You've heard the action. Now watch it. Download the official UEFA Champions League app to watch free highlights from tonight's matches from midnight where you are.
Well, the other qualification spot was in Group C. Real Madrid through as section winners before match day six. It was either Napoli or Braga. They met at the Maradona. Braga had to win and win well, and it never looked likely from the moment that they scored a very unfortunate own goal to give Napoli the lead. Victor Osimhen then got the second 12 minutes before half-time, and the Italian champions under new coach, certainly since the start of the group stage, Kevin, in Walter Mazzarri, got the job done very professional manner again.
Yeah, and they're still a dangerous team. There's no doubt about that. Any team that's got Kvaratskhelia and Osimhen in it is going to cause problems. They've still got the bulk of the squad that won the Scudetto last season. So they can't be taken lightly. They haven't played as well in Serie A as they did last season. Well, that was always going to be a tall order because they won Serie A, surprisingly, at a canter last season. So, yes, a couple of coaching changes. Rudy Garcia didn't last very long. Mazzarri's gone in there. And I still think they've got a couple of gears that they can go up. And given the fact that they're not really in the race for the Scudetto this time around, come February, they can prioritise this competition.
Yeah, they certainly can. And I think you... dangerous is certainly the word for the draw. There won't be many who will fancy taking on Napoli. Now, because of that result, it opened the door for Union Berlin, potentially, if they had have beaten Real Madrid, to have overtaken Braga to finish third. And there was a period in the game when that was happening because they were leading the 14-time winners, Kevin, which would have been a remarkable story. But I guess a bit like Bayern, there's just no let-off for clubs like that in this competition. Even if you're through, the will to win is quite impressive, really.
That's exactly it. I must admit, going into that game, I thought, they'll probably rest a few. They're fine. Jude Bellingham's been carrying a knock. Is he going to play? And then I looked at the lineup. Oh, Bellingham does start behind Rodrigo and Hosselu.
Yep.
And even when they have made changes, Modric in the midfield, I've heard he's quite good. You know, it's an extraordinary depth of squad that they have. And even if they do make a few changes here and there, they bring that Bayern-like seriousness to every single game. And Jude Bellingham is the epitome of that because he wants to win every second of every game.
And there was also a chance to join that historic club, which they were already part of in terms of group stage perfection, winning 6 from 6. They've done it for the third time. 2011, 2014, and now 2023. And in this era, it doesn't happen that often. And even if we are used to Real Madrid doing it, it should be celebrated.
It's about habits, I think. It's about habits, and it's about developing a swagger in this competition. And I think that can take you a long way. When they won it, and they had that run where they knocked out Chelsea and they knocked out Manchester City and they beat Liverpool in the final. That run is one of the most extraordinary runs I've ever seen in this competition. And so much of it was powered by that institutional knowledge they have. They know how to get through these games. They know how to win in the UEFA Champions League. It sounds, you know, intangible and woolly and there's no tactics in it or anything, but it's real. It genuinely is real, and they've got it.
Danny Ceballos with the winner in the 89th minute. Hosselu with two more goals.
I love that guy.
First was a real classic centre-forward header,
yeah.
And how he is leading the line brilliantly. No Karim Benzema, of course, but he most certainly has stepped up. And Real Madrid, 6 wins from 6. Congratulations to them and Napoli, who made sure of their progression on match day 6. And Braga's consolation is a place in the Europa League. And I guess if you're drawn into a section with Real Madrid and Napoli, probably, and I think we have heard that from the coach actually over the last 10 weeks or so, third, you've done pretty well, actually.
I think it's a great performance. And I think what I've loved, actually, about them is that they've really given it a go. That they've tried to be progressive. They've tried to really attack teams. The way they came back in Berlin against Union was the key. They were 2-0 down in that game, came back to win it 3-2, showed real personality in the second half and real quality as well. They're a really good side to watch.
And they will look forward to the draw for the Europa League. And it was third spot, which was where it was all about, really, in the two other sections. Plenty to play for in terms of ensuring who would extend their European season, beginning in Group B, where Lens took on Sevilla. Jenna Scalacci, the former Tottenham captain, and Mark Scott watched this one for Match Day Live. tell you why he's running at the back line. Oh, and he went for the cutback. It's a penalty. Penalty for Lons. It might be the goal that ensures third place. And what a penalty it was as well. Frankowski into the top corner.
What an excellent penalty that was. It was the perfect pen, the power. Keeper's gone the wrong way. Gone for power, really. Straight down the middle.
Rakitic's ball in now. That's a penalty for Sevilla. En-Nesyri was dragged back. Felix Vieira immediately making the call to give the spot kick. Sergio Ramos steps up to take the penalty for Sevilla. Short run up. Ramos. Oh, saved! Samba's there and denies Rakitic. Wonderful double stop. I think it's going to be retaken because Bryce Samba, I did think this when we saw one of the replays, that he'd left his line prior to Ramos striking the ball. So here comes Ramos. Take two. Sergio Ramos chips it into the net. What a penalty that is. Incredible from Sergio Ramos, and it's all square.
Yeah, really, really classy. Sent the keeper the absolute wrong way and just went for the little chip. Fantastic pen, cool as you like.
That's a really good challenge by Sotoka, and a good pass as well, and a chance here to wrap it up. Fulcini, that's it. Lons have done it. They've won the game, and they are going into the Europa League. Sevilla are eliminated from Europe altogether. Lons 2, Sevilla 1.
Incredible scenes at the end. Lens, a very small town, but my word, the party will have gone long into the night. They were playing in the second tier of French football not long ago, and for the first time since 2007, they will now be playing European football after Christmas. And there was no fairy tale for Sergio Ramos, who did become the highest scoring defender in Champions League history with that penalty that you heard. The other game in that section, Kev, both teams were already through, PSV and Arsenal, but thoroughly entertaining, and a point for both of those to take into the last 16.
Yeah, and I think PSV, I mean, both teams have been very impressive. The biggest compliment I can pay to Arsenal, when you consider how long they've been out of the Champions League, they look like a Champions League team.
Yeah.
And they look like a team that should win the group. And they played with real authority, considering how many relatively young players they have. I thought they played with authority all the way through. PSV, when you consider they've won every single game in the Eredivisie, but have been able to maintain their level in the Champions League as well, massively impressive. Peter Bosz has done a superb job. They play really attacking football. They score lots of goals. They're a joy to watch, and they're going to be really dangerous for people as well. Just a word on Lens as well. In the summer, they lost Seko Fofana,
yeah,
who was arguably their best player. They lost Luis Openda, who scored a ton of goals for them. What an achievement to prolong their European campaign beyond Christmas. Amazing.
And they had an incredible tifo before the game with an aeroplane in one of the stands about a European tour. The Europa League trophy in another. So everybody knew just how much it meant to get third, and of course it means that Sevilla can't defend their Europa League crown. To Group D now, Inter nil, Real Sociedad nil. Enough for La Real to top the section. Both were already through, but on their return to the Champions League, in that section with Inter, Salzburg and Benfica, to win it and to be a seeded team in Monday's draw. How about that, Kev?
Tremendous, because you look at what they've done, their progression in the last few years under Imanol has been sensational. They were missing a couple of key players, didn't seem to bother them. I wonder if Inter genuinely thought, you look at the way they approached match day 5, for example, when they went to Lisbon to play Benfica. They made a lot of changes ahead of that game. And I wonder if they always felt, well, we're going to have a great chance to win this final game and maybe win the group that way. And it hasn't quite worked out for them. I've said for months now, I think Inter are by far the best team in Italy. I think they're a team that are going to be really, really dangerous in the Champions League, just as they were last season. So for La Real to go there and get the result they needed is sensational. And they're so much fun to watch.
They certainly are. Talking about getting the result that was needed, the other match in that section, Salzburg 1, Benfica 3. Benfica came into it knowing that they had to win the game by two or more to leapfrog Salzburg and go into third and qualify for the Europa League. Well, it was only 2-1 until the 92nd minute when they got that goal. And Roger Schmidt, I think I'm right in saying Benfica lost their opening four games of this season's group stage. And to come back and to prolong their European season is some achievement for a club who will now go into the Europa League. And
And will fancy their chances of going a long way.
And they'll fancy it because they've got such firepower. I mean, Angel Di Maria has been a brilliant addition for them. Scored direct from a corner.
Yeah, that doesn't happen much.
Rafa Silva, I think, is one of the most technically gifted players in the Champions League and will be certainly in the Europa League. And there's a real steel about them as well. You know, they've had a spell where they've not played that well domestically. They seem to be turning that around. They're still in the mix to defend their title in the Primera Liga. And you only have to look at what they did to Sporting the other week in the Lisbon Derby when they were 1-0 down going into the last seconds of the game and scored twice in stoppage time and won the game. So, yeah, a lot of it comes from his, you know, incontrovertible will to win, Roger Schmidt. And that was, of course, the Roger Schmidt Classico as he was back in Salzburg.
Yes, it was. Group D then finished like this. Real Sociedad top on 12 points. Same amount of points, Inter second. And Benfica just pipping Salzburg 2-3rd. Both of those on 4 points. So we've summed up Tuesday. The good thing is on Wednesday there's loads more Champions League action and there's a lot more to be decided. The two early kickoffs will have commentary on Matchday Live of Sevena Zvezda against the defending champions Manchester City. City through in this section and Leipzig as well. And then after that, really, Kev, it's all about Group F. Dortmund are through. Who's going to join them? Paris, Newcastle or Milan? If Group A was beautifully poised on Tuesday, Group F is really the section where you feel the fireworks could come.
Well, I felt this is the toughest group to call at the start, and you looked at it and thought all four of those could qualify, and we're still in that situation, of course. Dortmund have done brilliantly. I think those two performances against Newcastle were superb, actually, when you think of the control they played with, the grit and determination. It's been a far cry from some of their domestic form. Paris are in a really weird situation, I think, because I actually look at the way they're set up. If they can get through this somehow, and they can make sure of their place in the last 16, I actually think they're better equipped this season than they have been in recent times, because I think the balance of the team's better. I think Luis Enrique has a clear way that he wants to play, but that's not going to bear fruit at the elite level until after Christmas, I don't think. So, you know, they're either going to go out or they're going to have a genuine chance of disrupting this competition in the later rounds, because I do think there's a real balance there. However, I think Newcastle, battered and bruised as they are going to be able to use that crowd and give Milan a really tough game. It's a brilliant way to end the section.
Certainly is, and that is our full commentary match from St James's Park. We can hear from Eddie Howe now, the Newcastle manager, who is anticipating a special night whatever happens.
Yeah, I think we're very positive going into the game. I think it's got all the hallmarks of being a very special night. I think all we can do, quite predictably, is try and win the game and try and give our best performance, and that we'll give everything to try and do that. And we're going to need every voice. I think it's one of those nights for us. We need to create the atmosphere that has been befitting, really, of our home form. The supporters have never let us down at home. I think they've been incredible. They've really driven us on, especially when there's been some tight games and we've been working as hard as we do in the matches. They've given us the ability to keep going, and we're going to need that tomorrow.
Should be excellent listening that match, as will the goal updates from Porto against Shakhtar, which is another huge winner-takes-all game on this Champions League match day 6.
Yeah, and you have to give Shakhtar immense credit for the way, given all the adversity they've been through, given the players they've lost in recent transfer windows, I think they've been absolutely sensational to take it this far in the group stage, and you wouldn't put it past them going through.
You wouldn't, absolutely. Porto at home, can they finish the job and secure a place in the round of 16 alongside Bayern? And we can come back to our commentary match, Mike Sewell. We can hear from the Manchester United head coach, Erik ten Hag, who gave an honest assessment of his team's group stage performance.
We didn't lose it today, that's clear. And I think we had some good performances, but then also we made mistakes, some individual errors from more players. And in the end, it's not good enough. But I think today the performance was, again, very good. And we didn't deserve to lose, but we lost the game.
Bayern then victorious at Old Trafford. And Mike, one of the favourites for you going into that round of 16 draw?
Bayern, yes, definitely. And the way they played tonight, okay, it wasn't the most outstanding performance you'll ever see, but they were very, very controlled, they were very composed, they were very efficient, they were very businesslike, and they were solid. And apart from maybe that first 15 minutes of the second half, when United had a little bit of the ball and looked like, well, they might get something out of this, once Bayern realised that, they closed up shop a little bit and then forced the issue to get the goal that they needed. They were in control of that. Interesting to hear what Erik ten Hag said there, saying we didn't lose it tonight. They didn't lose it tonight. They lost it in the other games where they had opportunities, and I think they're ruining those missed opportunities now.
Yeah, of course, one of those was the late defeat at Copenhagen when they led earlier on in this season's group stage. But what a story. The Danish champions into the round of 16, and speaking post-match, Kamal Grob Barra still couldn't quite believe that he will be playing in this competition in the new year.
When I start playing football, I never thought that I can actually go through the Champions League. You know, it was the goal was to actually ever play a game there. But it doesn't hit me yet. You know, I think it's a spectacular achievement. Really, I think it's extremely it's extraordinary to be honest in this group. And you know, I think we all deserve that. I think we've been working extremely hard over the last 2 years, and we've become a solid European team.
Spoken truly from the heart there, Richard. And this is what this competition is all about, right? Stories like Copenhagen joining the real elite in the last 16.
Well, they are, aren't they? And Grabera, there's a fantastic story for him personally. It's his last season with the club. He's going to go to Wolfsburg next season. And he was quite literally, it's interesting hearing him say, it hasn't hit me yet. He was in tears at the full-time whistle when the celebrations began and have only just died down right now, what, about 45 minutes after the full-time whistle. A wonderful achievement and a team effort. You know, other players in the group for other clubs in the group, you know, might have, you know, bigger star billing, if you like, but as a group, as a squad, and then the players that are out on the pitch today, they were superb from the start to finish. They took the game plan from their coach Jakob Nystrup down to a T, and they weren't really threatened. They opened the scoring, and then obviously you expect the opposition to come at them, but they got the job done, and it was a deserved win, history made.
I think it underlines what's been true in European football for a long, long time. If you've got a group of players who are willing to, you know, carry out the instructions of a very good coach, and then you mix that with an incredible fan base and an amazing home stadium, you can do incredible things. And they weren't expected even to necessarily qualify for the Europa League when you looked at that group, and they've turned that upside down and they've played with control, discipline. They're a really dangerous team.
And their eyes will be peeled to UEFA.com on Monday, the 18th of December. That is this Monday, from midday CET, because Copenhagen are into the round of 16 of the Champions League. A reminder, you can download this podcast shortly after the conclusion of tomorrow night's matches as well, and follow the action with Match Day Live from 6 p.m. CET. But from myself, Mike, Richard and Kevin, it is a very good night. Congratulations, Napoli and Copenhagen.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.